It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans. Yes, there are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT starting today, my final day of the week until next week here on the home of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM and on the Raiders mobile app. Practice is wrapping up here in Costa Mesa on a really nice Friday. Players are going to get to the podium coming up here momentarily, and we'll get you some of that sound along with a player a little bit later on and a couple of Raider insiders who will join us throughout the broadcast today as it's a getaway Friday for me, as I'll be hitting the road back to Vegas, driving back to Vegas. Brought the car out here for some extra friends and to do some cool things while I was out here this week. So I'll be back in Vegas tonight and then be back next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. They're in pads on Tuesday, and we'll be here pretty much for the duration starting next week. So that's what I want to do today. It's kind of a wrap-up, my 3 days here at camp, and I want to hear from you. Anything you want to know, today is an open phone day. We're going to have one of our great games of all time. It's Ghost to the Post Day. Yesterday it was Sea of Hands. Today, with the all-time greatest games, we'll react to Ghost to the Post, considered one of the most, I think, important games in NFL history, and a game, another game that falls into that category as one of the greatest Raider games of all time. So that comes up a little bit later on. We're trying to keep pace with doing training camp, what we're seeing out here at camp, getting the information that you want from Costa Mesa, while also dropping in our summer series on the greatest Raider games of all time. The monologue is brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue 5 to 7. Midnight to 2 is the best happy hour in town. Head on out to any PTs and just frankly cool off. Watch sports. Happy opening day of the Olympics. The Olympics are on. I've been seeing some of the social media there. And obviously it looks spectacular. If you're watching it, which I can't now, I could just look at social media. I was talking to my wife before the show started, and she had a friend over at the house and one of my sons watching it live as the opening ceremonies are going on, which is the Olympics. And it's the biggest sporting event by far in the history of mankind and female kind. No debate. It's happening now. It's not a great sports radio topic unless something brilliant happens along the way, and hopefully the Americans win their great share of gold medals. We have a couple of defining moments that we'll look back on for a couple of the next couple of hundred years to come. And yes, as Cisco says, it's a Modelo Friday. You know, by 2 o'clock Pacific time, I usually have my bucket of Modelos. No Modelos as I'm driving back to Vegas tonight. We'll get it when I get back tonight. And hopefully it's a, that's what I should put in the chat. What's the over under on me getting from Costa Mesa to Vegas? Is it 5? Is it 5:15? Hopefully not 6, but it'll be interesting today. I hope nobody's driving to Las Vegas from Los Angeles when it's this hot. I hope people are trying to stay away from Vegas, enjoying the coast and the great weather as we are here over the last couple of days. The mayor of Flavortown, Guy Fieri's cooking for the team tonight. I saw him at the hotel and out here today. Took a nice photo with him and talked Raiders football. Guy and I go back, I don't know, as long as I've been with the Raiders, and he's been around Raider Nation. He talked to me about Antonio Pierce, what he's doing for the team tonight. So the mayor of Flavortown is here. Look for all of the social media at Raiders.com. Had a great conversation with Eric Musselman, former head coach of the Warriors, Nevada. He was just at Arkansas. Now he's the head coach of USC football. And he spent a lot of time with Antonio Pierce, and that was a nice conversation to reconnect with him again. And the limited fans that are out here are having a really good time. When it comes to practice, today was probably the practice I watched the most of. I'm really focusing on special teams. It's bizarre to watch the kickoffs, the punt coverage, and what the Raiders are going to try to do with that. The offensive line, Thayer Mumford. I saw him get a jump off sides once. Max Crosby is working him in a good way. Not embarrassing him. It's just good to see Max line up against Thayer Mumford so he can get that workout. Yesterday, as you know, we had on Andre James, and he looks really good. Fit, holding up that pocket. And Brock Bowers in the tight ends is what I want to lead with as I open up the monologue. So here's what I'm seeing, and I'm hoping what I'm seeing is correctly from the other NFL insiders that are out here. You're seeing a lot of two tight end sets with Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. Michael Mayer's bigger and stronger. He might not be stronger than Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers looks like he's a superhero. I mean, the guy's got legs of tree trunks, but he's not as big as Big Mike, Michael Mayer here. But Mayer's in, you know, Mayer's lining up on the line. You're seeing a lot of Brock Bowers in motion. You're seeing Bowers out there often and running routes along with Jacoby Myers and Devontae Adams. So my takeaway is simply this. I did this with Darren Waller. I'm going to look at Brock Bowers as a receiver, not a tight end. We have got to categorize him the way that we did with Darren Waller, where Darren Waller had the greatest season in Raider history when it came to receptions, and he was a beast, along with Hunter Renfrow when he was here in that one season when they went to both of them a lot. But I'm looking at Bowers to put up elite tight end receiving numbers that would borderline a very good wide receiver. I mean, I think that would be, I'm not a big poll question guy. I'm not, but I'll throw it here into the chat at YouTube, JT the Brick YT, and this is how I'd like you to participate. I don't read text messages, nothing wrong with that, but I'll look in this chat here. Who do you think is going to have more receptions on the year? Would it be Jacoby Myers or Brock Bowers? Now, I would assume it'd be Jacoby, because Jacoby's a hell of a wide receiver. He's one of the top five, number two receivers in the league because he trails Devontae Adams, who is the number one here. But I would love to hear from Raider fans on how you think this ball is going to be distributed throughout the course of this year, because they're not going to show us much out here at training camp here in front of the media and obviously some select people who are here. But I'm seeing a lot of Brock Bowers lining up in the slot. I saw him line up wide today. I saw him in motion. Saw him touch the ball behind the line of scrimmage. And that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want to see with him. A heavy dose of Devontae and Brock Bowers. Now, as we often say, there's only one football. And when there's only one football, you have to question who's going to get the most targets here. Nothing's going to change when it comes to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams will be the feature number one on this team. And we all know that. But the question is, what will Bowers do? And how big can Bowers go right out of the gate to start the season? And there's the lawnmower as they're cutting the field right in front of me. It sounds like when I want to do a show at home on Friday and my landscapers come. Oh, no, and wife and I are looking for new landscapers in Vegas, wink, wink. I don't want to get into my landscaping trauma this summer with the sprinklers, the water, the grass is burning like we live on Mars and all of that. So if you got a hookup for a landscaper on the mean streets of Summerlin, let me know. I'll give them a bucket of Modelo's with me every Friday after they take it. You know, I've been a landscaper. I was a landscaper for most of my life, my youth. You know, I had over 100 lawns. I was cutting a lot of grass at the age of 16 and 17. But we get great deals out west with landscapers coming in, and I'm in one of those moments now. Got the right guy at the pool, don't have the right landscaper, as I digress. Also, Antonio Pierce this morning met with the media, so we have some of that sound for you coming up here on what he's doing and what he's trying to do here along the way to set the tone here at Raiders training camp. So that's it. I want to get to Ghost of the Post maybe before the top of the hour. We'll see if we get to that before the top of the hour. But I'd like to get the phones going early as we're wrapping up our coverage of the first week here. And I want to hear from you on exactly what you think you're getting from the Raider insiders, what you're getting from this show. And I think it's calm and it's cool. As I've been telling you, I've been monitoring the Southern California media from the position that I'm here. And again, it's just embarrassing, the Charger coverage that we're seeing here and what Jim Harbaugh is doing down here. Good for Jim Harbaugh. He's a good man. I got nothing bad to say about him as a human being. He's a great coach. But the way the media is manipulating the Chargers here, Sean McVay is doing a pretty good job at Loyola with the Rams. The Rams have a good team. Cooper Kupp is back. Puk is there. They got a good team. Matthew Stafford reworked his contract. So that's getting a lot of coverage here on the local news. But with the Raiders, being here in Costa Mesa, I'm just mostly paying attention to the national media at night, which would be SportsCenter. Right? I'm looking at SportsCenter. I'm looking at the NFL insiders here, and it's crickets. It's absolute crickets. Now, as we speak, the media is on the other side of this tent wall where I'm at, and they're talking to the players as the players come out here. So the local media, the Vegas media that's here in attendance, Fox 5, Channel 8, Paul Gutierrez, Deshaun Reed, Vic Tafer, you go down the list, they're all here. They're giving you great information on misses with throws, who's making good plays. Jack Jones going up against Jacoby Myers. Saw Ja'Corian Bennett make a really good play today on Brock Bowers as he was out there, and I really studied today the cornerbacks here because we want to see what's going to happen at the cornerback position. If we're going to see some elite play for the number two cornerback there as Faison, I really believe that, you know, when you look at last year and Ja'Corian Bennett starting and he looks to be in tremendous shape and ready to go, I'd like to see him be the lead candidate there. And I also want to discuss today Nate Hobbs and what Nate Hobbs' role will be. I've seen a lot of Nate Hobbs on special teams, taking back punts, fielding punts, and I think more of Nate Hobbs is a good thing here. You know, when you look at this, when you look at what Nate Hobbs can do, I always thought that Nate Hobbs would be the good solution to be the second cornerback. I always thought he would be the guy that I'd want to see as the second outside cornerback here. It's obvious that he's going to be the slot corner. And he's going to be on the field a lot. And I think that Nate Hobbs is going to have a really big start to this season here to set the tone on the other side of Jack Jones, whoever that number two cornerback is going to be. And what the Raiders are going to have to decide on probably, I would say, in the next week. I think the Raiders have pretty good depth as we wait for, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson to come back and Colton Miller. I think the Raider depth on the offensive line is really good as players are getting more reps for two of the offensive linemen not being out there for these, you know, workouts here every day. But I think when it comes to corner, the Raiders are lean at cornerback. I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Telesco brought in another one. And obviously with some of the situations at the wide receiver, I think there's going to probably be another camp wide receiver brought in, someone to compete for that fifth or sixth wide receiver. Now, getting back to what I initially said, I don't lose my mind on the fifth or sixth wide receiver, the player that comes on and off the practice squad. That's never a talking point for me on this broadcast. But now I have something to pivot to, and the fourth receiver for me could be the third or the second in Brock Bowers. When I look at the receiver depth on this team, I look at Devontae, Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Michael Mayer. And Michael Mayer is not here today to be a blocking guy who just sits around and blocks all day. He's got to have a big year in the passing game. We know that Big Mike can block. We know what he can do overall. But I want to see if he can catch maybe 20, 22, 25 more balls than last year. Yes, that's the number. I think the number has to go up significantly, including Brock Bowers, who one fan told me today, how about 80 receptions? 80 receptions is pretty high for a rookie coming in here, but he's going to catch a lot of balls, a lot of those Hunter Renfrow balls that we saw here over the last couple of years. And maybe that could be a difference here. Maybe, say this year he has 20 or 25 receptions at the line of scrimmage or within 5 yards there. That'd be nice because I think he's going to break a couple of them, maybe one or two for a touchdown and a couple of them for some big gains. That's exactly what I'm looking for with Brock Bowers as we open up the show. So let's get to some of the Antonio Pierce sound, and let's get going with that because he spoke earlier today. This is Antonio Pierce from earlier today on the efficiency of the quarterbacks. You know, this is a two-quarterback race. Here's what the coach updated with us today.
Yeah, what I see is two guys competing. You know, I asked him, you know, it's time to make that leap. You know, stop with the baby steps. Somebody grab the bull by the horn and be the guy, and they're trying to do that. So the competition is high. We're going to alternate. That's going to be what you're going to see every day. Aiden, go first. Gardner, go second, however that goes, and we'll switch it up. But I think the key part about it is regardless who's in, the offense is trying to be as efficient and as effective as possible. So, you know, you got the offensive line there with those guys. You're trying to build that continuity to our wide receivers. I think both quarterbacks are doing it.
So a lot of people in the media are saying that the Raiders are being very vague about the quarterback position. They're being very quiet about it. No, they're not. There is no decision made yet on the quarterback, other than the fact that Aiden O'Connell's probably going to get the first reps at practice. Maybe one day he won't. Aiden O'Connell will probably start the Minnesota game in the preseason. I would assume that. I would say that would almost feel like a guarantee unless something happens here. And then we're going to figure out what's going to happen next. There is breaking news that just came in right now on Tua in Miami. We'll get to him on that contract extension coming up here in a little bit as I'm waiting for some Wi-Fi to load on this situation there. So getting back to Antonio Pierce on the quarterbacks, the opportunity for Aiden O'Connell now with all these great weapons to step up in the pocket and go forward.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think it's probably going to be tough when pads get on too with those two guys. But that goes back into the spring, like when we're evaluating quarterbacks, you know, just the amount of pressure they're getting. But it's really good for us because it gives Aiden opportunities to step up in the pocket. You see what Minshew's able to do in the pocket when you have distress right in front of you. So to me, you can't get enough of those real reps. That's why you don't see us doing a lot of 7-on-7. We did a little bit of yesterday. You won't see none today. We'll do more team periods.
Yeah, so we're going to see more and more of that, and they're bringing it along. One of the insiders today I asked who's been around almost as much as me, as long as I've been around, basically saying that, you know, it seems like it's very kind of vanilla what we're seeing so far at the quarterback situation. And I said, I agree. I mean, I don't think you're going to see anything really hardcore until the pads come on Tuesday. And Tuesday's the first pad at practice, and I think at that time you're going to see a little bit more aggressive play, and we'll be able to have something to talk about, because the advantage here is clearly about this defense as we begin training camp in Costa Mesa. The advantage is to the defense, not super to the next level, but at a point overall where you can tell that the defense is cocky. They feel in themselves. They feel like they're going to have an unbelievable season, rightfully so. And we're going to be talking about the defense for most of the time. We're going to be talking about the defense until we have some really cool things to say about this offense and a couple of explosive plays along the way. 702-365-9200, as Art Rader said in our chat. Yeah, O'Donnell's job to lose. And I would totally agree with that. We've said that throughout the offseason going forward here. The playbook, the meeting room on the field, this is where Luke Getsy steps into play. And Antonio Pierce talked about how they have to learn on the fly and make corrections on the field.
Yeah, we are. I think it's been really two good practices. I think our guys have done a good job in the playbook. I told them the mental part is on them. They need to learn the playbook. They did that over the break, and they've done a good job preparing. You know, we have meetings in the morning just to get us ready, kind of get a little fast start. But they do a good job of bringing the meeting room to the field, and our leaders are really stepping up. They're holding everybody accountable. So, you know, if you're a guy that's not really focused or paying attention, or you have any kind of mental lapse, you get called out right away.
Yeah, I think they are. I haven't seen a lot of that, you know, because I'm sitting here in the media walking around a little bit. Got some pretty good access. But I said that, too. There is a different tone in the verbiage from the coaches from the Josh McDaniels era that was a little bit louder. There was a little bit more raising voices, a lot more correcting on the field in an up, I wouldn't say angry way, but he got your attention. I think what Coach Pierce is doing, that if you point and you make a mistake, I see the coaches coming up to the players, the individual coaches, talking to them right in front of me, about 50 feet in front of me when they were working on special teams. Amir Abdullah had a couple of good plays in a row, and a coach came running up to him saying, two great reps in a row. And that's the type of encouragement you're seeing here and the type of encouragement we're expecting. We're expecting that type of encouragement because the former regime did it their way, and now this regime's going to do it their way, and it works with these players. These players are reacting differently to what I saw last year at this time, where it was much more tighter, much more intense. Now, the social media narrative I want to talk about, because yesterday Robert Spillane gave us a really good soundbite, and I'll get to that later on in the show. He's pissed off. He feels disrespected. And Antonio Pierce talked about that also, about changing the narrative on what the Las Vegas Raiders want to be going forward.
Well, I think it's hard in today's world because everything they have access to everything. They're going to find out one way or the other through social media, somebody texting you, telling you. As you know, our team is very outspoken, and when they feel something, they talk about it. But I think they both said the right thing, that we got to go out there and change the narrative, and that's what our plan is.
Yeah, the plan is if the players are pissed off and they feel like they're getting disrespected or there's something happening that looks a little bit different, they're gonna be able to talk about it. They're going to be able to talk about it in the media. But as we sum up training camp in maybe 2 weeks, it's going to come down to that Charger game, everybody. We all know it. It starts with the Charger game. I'm treating the Charger game like the bleeping Super Bowl. I choose my show to treat the Charger game like the Super Bowl. I'm treating it like it's the biggest thing we've done in a long time. Because I'm not into this waiting around till week six crap anymore and figuring out who's good, who's not, who needs to get in rhythm, and none of that. It's go time against the Chargers here in Southern California. Coach told me that. He told me that in person. We're going to go big for that Charger game. We are going to come in like a massive army in the Raider Nation. Week one, we are going to take over, not training camp, okay, in case I have cameras on me and people looking to slap me on the wrist. I'm not talking training camp. I'm talking when training camp breaks and we're back in Vegas and this thing starts. I'm going to have the Raider Nation on edge like they've never been on edge for one game, the Charger game. And maybe that will move to the Baltimore game. I don't know. But I can tell you this, the Charger game is going to feel like the Gladiator movie where Antonio Pierce is going into SoFi with a sword and he's standing at the 50-yard line and we're going balls out. And the entire Raider Nation in this region will be there. And they are pissed off. They feel disrespected like I do. They're angry. Doesn't matter. They're going to play well in the preseason. We know that. We're going to have battles. We're going to have all that. But then we are going to unleash this Raider Nation like we haven't unleashed it in Las Vegas. You know, the Vegas story has been great. Everybody loves coming to Vegas. Other teams love coming to Vegas. Other fans come loving to Vegas. Everybody loves it here. I'm sick and tired of all the background noise. It's going to end on my watch when we play the Chargers. And win or lose. Now, I'm not guaranteeing a win, but the energy level going into that game will be 10 times bigger than anything the Charger organization can do for any game. Now, if the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh get off to a great start and they're the new flavor and everybody's talking about how great it is and Harbaugh's Jesus and it's a great moment and kumbaya, we're all on the Charger payroll, all that garbage I've been pointing out now going on 25-plus years, then you tip your cap to the Chargers. But God knows I am not intimidated. You are not intimidated. We need everybody going now because we have one thing in common now, everyone in Raider Nation. We're all pissed off, and there's no need to be pissed off in July. But Robert Spillane said it. Andre James sat next to me yesterday and mentioned it. It's time to take back the NFL, and the Super Bowl talk's not happening on this show. How many games you want to win is great. That's a topic for me. But I am borderline in shock by the disrespect that this franchise is getting on a national level, not on a local level. You know, Vegas is not the media market of New York, but I think Vegas and this radio station has better content that you can hear in L.A. radio. I've been a part of L.A. radio my whole career. Some of it's good, most of it's average, some of it's really below average. We do a hell of a job on this station with passion and energy and getting you where you need to be. Again, I'm worked up. I'm worked up because once Robert Spillane said that yesterday, I said to myself, you know, it's good that one of the captains on the defense was right to say, we're hearing this, we're listening to it, and it's going to motivate us. And that's what motivates me. What motivates me is disrespect and fighting for the Raider Nation. What motivates me is trying to get up every day and give Raider fans a voice. And that's why I started this YouTube channel. That's why I'm doing two shows a day for most of my career. And when more and more Raider fans come up to me at practice today and say, JT, man, I'm fired up, man. I'm ready to go. I look them in the eye and say, I'm ready to go too. This is a business. This is a passion. This is a lifestyle. But it's all based on winning. And most of the people in the NFL don't think the Raiders can win as of today. And camp's not going to change that. Nothing in camp in the preseason is going to change that. Aiden O'Connell can come out in Minneapolis or Gardner Minshew can come out at home against the Niners and throw three touchdowns with the ones in. It's not going to change anything until the Raider plane, the team plane, lands in L.A. to take on the Chargers. And I can promise you with all my heart that the Raider Nation will be on the ground in L.A., and they will be worked up into a frenzy, and I'm going to play a major role in that. 702-365-9200. Again, that monologue is not a training camp monologue. That's what I got. We want to hear from you. Get on the phone, 702-365-9200. They're going to get me some guests here at some point, but everybody's on the other side of this tent. and they're talking to some of the players who are over there, and then they come back, maybe they'll throw us a player or two. And if not, I'll talk to you, and I have more content from practice today. Happy opening day of the Olympics. My family loves the Olympics. I also love Remy Martin, because they're a big reason why we're here, our proud partner, live from Raiders training camp.
I knew we'll be competitive. I knew the competition would go back and forth. But to watch our offense, for example, right, when they made some plays in the red zone, to see the O-line to react the way they acted, to see our entire offense go in there and celebrate a touchdown together, I thought we'll build to that slowly. I mean, but right away they picked off to where we were last year, and that's been really good to see. Just those guys, that continuity, coming together and enjoying playing ball for one another and enjoying the success of somebody else. Because it's training camp, right? They're fighting. It's dog eat dog, right? I'm trying to get your spot. You're trying to get my spot. But every once in a while, man, it's good to, you know, share that moment together.
All right, that's Antonio Pierce. And Bobby's playing the Stones today because Mick Jagger turns 81 today. And I just saw him 3 weeks ago in Vancouver, and he was running by me on stage, not walking, running. Happy birthday to Mick at 81. The great Ed Graney joins me live from Raiders training camp. Good to see you for another year.
Good to
out
see
here,
you. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Nice to be here.
Nice to be here as the players are lifting, so they'll come to the podium here in a little bit. Tell me about your rhythm. You've done this at such a high level. All the camps you've covered before the Raiders, the Chargers, throughout your career here. What's different about this one?
I think in terms of Antonio coming back, how he runs a training camp. Players, coaches, we know a lot of positivity in Antonio and everything he says about his guys, and how he wants them, you know, building this culture of passion and poise and positivity and stuff like that. So I think that's one of the main reasons they wanted him to be their coach, that he's a player's coach and that he's a positive guy. And, you know, we ask him questions, you know, that have positive and negative connotations in terms of what's happening on and off the field. But he always comes back to, you know, learn from your mistakes and move forward.
On your radio show and what you wrote last year as McDaniels was let go, the regime changed. Antonio Pierce had to win games to get this job.
Yes.
If they would have flamed out down the stretch, I don't think he comes back. What do you think came about from that, the Kansas City win, to the off season, and now he's putting a foundation together for his vision?
Yeah, I always said from the very beginning, one thing I thought was great about him and respected him is he didn't act like he knew everything. Yeah. He went to his mentors. He went to Coughlin. You know, he went to Herm. He went to others that had done it before and had done it at a high level. And I thought that was really cool because not a lot of coaches would have done that. They would have been, you know, they all have egos.
Yeah.
So he would have been afraid, like, that people were saying, well, you don't know what you're doing. You have to go to these guys. But he didn't. He went to them to find out a lot of answers about how to be a head coach. So I always thought that was one of the best things he's done. And he's done it with this staff as well. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't act like he knows everything.
Yeah.
You know, he comes in and he asks people who've done it before and takes their advice. And, you know, he is the coach and he has to make the final decisions on all this stuff. But that's one thing I really like about the guy. He tries to learn from everybody, and when you're a first-time head coach, I mean, he was an intern, but now his first-time full-time job, I think that's important.
All the years I was with the Raiders in Napa, you know, even all the coaches had different types of intensity, but I'm sensing here that the clock is ticking every practice. I got here, you know, 11 practices, then there's 10, then there's 9, now there's 8, and I'm looking going, this install looks kind of interesting. I'm seeing a lot of Brock Bowers in motion. I'm seeing some unique plays here. But am I right to feel like the clock is on this team? Whatever they're going to do ahead of that Charger game week one, they better install it and feel good about it.
Yeah, especially offensively.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Luke coming in and being a new coordinator and bringing in a new offense, I think defensively they're way ahead, obviously, with Patrick back and how well they played down the stretch last year. I mean, I think they just kind of walked into camp and was able to take, you know, the perceived next steps because, you know, they're with Patrick and they know what he wants. But, yeah, I mean, they have to get the install in on offense. You and I were there during OTAs and minicamp, and, you know, there's some good days and bad days as the offense was installed, especially with the quarterbacks. We're seeing a little of that now, but, yeah, they've got to get it down. They've got to get ready for the Chargers, and it's 8 more, and then, you know, a couple preseason games, 3 preseason games, and they got to go.
Ed Graney joins us, worked for me for a long time at Lotus Broadcasting, the great writer from the Review Journal. As we wrap this up in a few moments, I want to ask you about this chip on their shoulder stuff,
right?
Because that's the type of show I like to do. I like the type of radio, it's us against the world type thing. But when Spillane spoke yesterday, you know, he's not a guy who's been doing this a long time in front of a podium. He didn't get a chance
to do that. No, he even said he doesn't like to talk.
Right. He didn't have to do it with the Steelers much because he wasn't one of their elite stars.
Right.
But now he's a leader here. But he gave us a little hint to what he thinks and everyone thinks about this. Season win total is 6.5. The national media is literally not covering this team, man. Again, I'm looking around here. I saw Albert Breer, Steve Weiss yesterday, but I've been at camps with day one. Everybody's there because it's the Raiders. I feel a level of disrespect, and I think the players feel a little bit of it.
Yeah, I do, and I was just writing something about this before I came on, and that the good thing for them is they have the ability to change the narrative.
Right.
They have, I mean, you change the narrative by going out and winning. I mean, and you find success. I don't mind the chip on the shoulders and them saying they're peed off about it and stuff like that, because, you know, that they probably should be, but if you're going to change it, go out and win. And then people can't say these things about you. Yeah. And Antonio, he's an interim coach, went 5-4. So I see the rankings because I think people are saying, go ahead and prove it. And if you do it, then you're going to change your minds and those rankings are going to be different next year. Mm-hmm. So go out, win, make the playoffs, and then no one can say these things.
Everybody got it wrong who predicted that Sean Payton was going to do great in Denver.
Right.
Everybody. And look, Sean Payton's a hell of a coach. It didn't work out. They've gutted the roster. They feel like they're coming into or out of a rebuild. Raiders need to win those games. Now, they're not gimmies, and it's hard to beat a team 10 times in a row. They've beaten them 8 in a row. But, Ed Graney, what's the realistic opportunity for the Chargers, considering Keenan Allen, Mike Williams are gone, Austin Eckler's gone? Let's say they drafted well and Harbaugh is that X factor and they want to run the ball. What are the expectations for the Chargers? What are you hearing?
I'm not more fascinated than anything this year except for that first game because of Harbaugh.
Right.
Because I really want to see him and what he does with that team. I mean, with their defense, I think the Raiders should be ahead of the Chargers and the Broncos.
Right.
With their defense, I do.
Sure.
I mean, now the quarterback play, everyone talks about that for good reason. You got to find out who the guy is, and he's got to perform. But defensively, I think the Raiders are at a point where I don't know if I'll be overly surprised, but, you know, with Denver and the Chargers, and I know they're not picked that way. I mean, the Raiders are favored in two games, so I know what the forecast is. But with that defense, if they can find anything offensively with one of these two guys at quarterback, then I think they can finish second in the division. Now, but I'm fascinated Harbaugh.
So
for
on.
Some reason, I can't wait to cover that first game because I really want to see how they look. I think we'll know how the Raiders might look, but the Chargers have no idea, and I can't wait to see them.
Last football question with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. It really is the only team out of 32, unless I'm missing one, that has a pure quarterback competition.
Yeah, this is it.
Right, Will Levis is going to start. You go around the league. And is that why the Raiders are catching so much shrapnel? Because they have two good quarterbacks. They're not elite. They're not great, but they're good, and everybody's looking at the competition nationally like they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this.
I think that's the main reason. I think that it's such an important position. Everyone knows they're good defensively. Everyone knows the skill. Adding Bowers, Devontae, Jacoby today looked terrific.
Yeah.
He's really good. I don't think people realize how good he is because of Devontae, obviously. I think Mayer's going to take a step forward. I think offensive line, they've got some guys hurt that they need to get back. But I think it all comes down to the quarterback. And I think people look at that from the outside looking in and saying, who's the quarterback? And like you said, not great, but, you know, probably good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And how will they play? Whoever the guy is.
On a personal note, last one, with your accomplishments, all those multiple Sports Writer of the Year awards, what's next for you? You're doing radio. You're writing a lot. You got kids who are vibrant at this stage in their life. What are you looking to do career-wise when you get up every morning? Because you got to get up early.
Exactly.
What motivates you every day as a journalist and now also as a talent?
The writing part still.
Good.
I still love the writing part, you know. I knew in the seventh grade I wasn't going to be Magic Johnson, so I had to stay around sports some way. So I started to read a lot. I think if you're going to be a great writer, you need to be a great reader. I was told that at a really young age, so I read a lot. And the writing part still, you know, I love doing the radio. I love doing the show in the morning. It's great. I love what Lotus does, but it's still the newspaper business that motivates me, more than anything. It's still the writing.
Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
a lot. I'll let you get back to work.
Everything.
Ed Graney, kind enough to come over here for a few moments as we open up the show and get rolling here. And we appreciate that because the media is going to be at the podium here as some of these players are about to speak now. Let me tell you something. If you're watching us nationally, you're part of the Raider Nation. That guy is one of the best sports writers of all time. I've said this. I don't know. Was it 8 or 9? Someone tell me in the chat. 8 or 9 Nevada Sports Writer of the Year awards. And just every time he puts something out, I read it. He's fantastic. So thanks again to Ed Graney for joining us here. And he's writing about it. He's writing about this disrespect that the Raiders could be getting or the chip on the shoulder. You know, there is an expiration date on saying that you don't get enough respect. You know, I'm just a radio guy. I'm not playing tight end, obviously. So I can sit here and say, you know, the fans aren't getting enough respect. The fans aren't getting this. You know, the fans deserve more. But you can't do that every year. And when I do it specifically when I see something that motivates me to tell you about how this team needs to get more respect and win. And what I'm saying about this is there's got to be an expiration date. I can't come into this business every year in July and August and saying, you know, Raiders are getting no respect. You know, the Raiders are getting shrapnel. You know, the Raiders should be getting that. You can't do that every day. The team's got to go out and win. So the schedule fascinates me. Ed Graney just said that he is fascinated overall by the Jim Harbaugh experience and what's that going to look like. And I think the national media is going to cover big the Raider game heavy against the Chargers in week 1 because it's a marquee game. It definitely is a marquee game. But the question is, if the Raiders come out of there with a win, will the national media give them credit because they're giving them none now? Will they do it right after the Charger game? Because that's how long we're going to have to wait until the Raiders can get some respect on their name. Out to Thor in Summerlin. Start us off, Thor, as I'm getting ready to drive back to Summerlin after the show. So look for a call from me, Thor, when I'm coming out of the Cajon Pass. How are you?
JT, my brother, happy Friday, man. Give us a call, man. I'll be with Cisco Kid in Henderson drinking a few cold ones a little later on around 4 o'clock and a couple of the New Jersey Raider homies that are out here. One friend is celebrating his birthday, so they came out to Vegas to kick it with some Raider Nation and have a good time, man. So if, depending on how you feeling, hit us up, bro. The disrespect, man, we're obviously the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL. And you know what, though? I'm okay with that because until we prove it, like you said, there's an expiration date. You can't keep saying I get no respect, but you ain't winning playoff games. So go out there and win. Good. Feel disrespected because I think that we should be feeling disrespected after what we did last year. We didn't make the playoffs, no, but we started 3-5, turned it around a little bit. We were still in it late in the season. We have so much talent on this team. I don't care if you're a Charger fan, you cannot tell me you have more talent on your team. You might want to say you feel like you have a more talented quarterback and maybe you think you have a better coach, but we don't know that for sure because I'm ready to see Aiden O'Connell get out here with a full OTA, a full preseason working and getting it done, knowing these dudes for a whole year, 9 games behind him or 10 games or whatever it was, and starting to learn these dudes. He's in better shape. And you know what? If Gardner Minshew can beat him out, then I'm ready to see Gardner Minshew do it. Let's go. I'm fired up, JT. It's Friday, but I'm fired up for the season. Train camp is here. Preseason's around the corner. And then we're going to L.A. to beat up on some Chargers. And then we'll be in Baltimore to try to give Baltimore hell. Let's go, JT.
Thank you, Thor, and I agree with you on that. I mean, look, we all know that there is an expiration date when you say and you talk about any team, you know, I'm not getting enough respect, the Rodney Dangerfield rule. If you don't know who Rodney Dangerfield is, Google it. But the Raiders, typically Raider Nation and Raider history, Raider fans care about winning and losing. You know, you can talk about disrespect in July and August. It's a pretty good topic, but you don't have to – that topic goes away week 1. Week 1 is when the games start and everybody is flying. And the whole conversation, we're not getting enough respect, we deserve this or that, it don't matter. It don't matter. It's about winning, and everybody knows that. So Aiden's not a trash talker. Gardner Minshew, as I said, is kind of trippy. It's kind of unique the way he speaks. He's not going to be a guy that, you know, riles everybody up there also. But this is going to come down to Robert Spillane, Max, Christian Wilkins, Jack Jones, who I thought had a really good practice today. Really good practice today overall. And Ed Graney talked about some of the other good players that practiced today. Just go out and do it. And don't get injured. Try not to get injured. You know, Rams lost a player, a starter for the year yesterday. And, you know, you look around every day. Every day when I open up social media, I hope all these players around the league can stay healthy. I'm hoping all these players around the league can stay healthy so all these teams are at full strength as we open up the season, and most importantly, the Raiders. 702-365-9200. So we're proud to announce that Virgin Hotels is back as a proud partner of our show. Cliff Atkinson, who's the president of the property, is a good friend. They have a whole bunch of new activations coming online. You know, I met my wife. I'm wearing my Rolling Stone shirt today at the Rolling Stones at the old Hard Rock joint. And now it's Virgin. And from the pool to the restaurants, my buddy J.O.D. at One Steak, Nobu, all the events they have, the conventions. I was at CCon there a week or so ago with Pete Rose and my son, and I'm always there at Virgin. So you're going to hear a lot from Cliff. He's going to join us on the show. You're going to hear a lot about Virgin. If you're looking for a room and you're from out of town, always call Virgin Hotels first to get a great rate, great restaurants, unbelievable pool. And then when they put on a concert in the theater, it's one of the best concert venues in the world still. It holds up. Virgin Hotels, proud partner of our show as we continue live from Raiders training camp, 702-365-9200. I'm supposed to get to Ghost to the Post as our seventh. Bobby, that would be our seventh greatest Raider game of all time. It's six. Yep. So seven was yesterday. And we'll get to six with Ghost to the Post. We're expecting a player coming up here in a little bit, and we have more sound from the players at the podium as we're live from Costa Mesa on a Friday. It's been a good week on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio.
Different time, you know. When I played, you better not say what they're saying. That's crazy. The guy I paid for it probably finding me left and right, but it's just a different age. And I think when you set standards and expectations of what to say and what to do and how far to go, I think they understand those lines. And more importantly, it gives them a sense of empowerment. And whenever they cross that line, we discuss it. And you know that if it comes up, we'll handle it as grown men.
Yeah, it's Antonio Pierce, who had a lot to say today, and you heard it on Raider Nation Radio in mornings. Q's coming up next at 2 o'clock Pacific time here as we continue from Costa Mesa, California. Players are done. They're getting a lift in, working out. The media is waiting for select players to come out and speak, and we'll have some of that sound. Maybe we'll carry one of them live. Will Kiss just told me Trayvon Merrick is on his way, so we'll get him coming up here, even though we're going to the top of the hour. So Bobby will manipulate the clock, and we will go a little bit longer here to get Trayvon Merrick, who's going to come up here in a little bit, as we're talking about the Raiders and the secondary. And excited to get into that topic for a number of reasons, because this secondary, I believe, is one of the strengths of the team. One of the strengths of the team is Epps and Trayvon Merrick on the back end and what they're able to do and how they're able to go out and make plays. And I think they played really good, and the chemistry is building. When the chemistry builds, that's important, because, look, you go back. I talk to George Atkinson all the time. He's one of the greatest Raiders of all time, and he had great chemistry in the backfield with the players that he trained with and played with. The most important, the assassin, Jack Tatum. But all the guys who have played safety on this team over the decades – usually we're known for being a great teammate with another safety and working well with the great corners. It could be from Willie Brown to Charles Woodson. Rod Woodson, when he came in, was one of the best chemistry players that I can remember. He was unbelievable, the impact that he had on this team. Now, I think he's one of the top 25 greatest defensive players to ever play in this league overall. But when you look at great players stepping up and playing important roles, this is one of them. As we welcome in Trayvon Merrick, who's kind enough to join us here on the flagship of the Silver and Black after a good day of practice and getting in a lift. And we appreciate you coming in there. There you go. We'll get that headset. Just bring that one down probably this way. There you go. There you go. How are you?
Good to see you again. How you doing?
Man. Awesome. A couple things. First off, the intensity at this camp compared to intensity camps that you've had in the past. Still a young player. Tell us about what you're seeing now.
Man, just a lot of energy, like you say. That's kind of what we came into this camp wanted to do, especially on defense. You know, that was our big focus. It's contagious, as you can see. You know, everybody's making plays. Everybody's, you know, making noise and getting hype for each other. So, you know, we feed off of each other playing like that.
I spoke about you a lot over the last couple of years and was expecting for you to take the next step, and you did last season. Did you feel that there was pressure on you, eyeballs on you, because you're a good player, a young player, but the coaches at the time, the former regime, wanted to see a little bit more out of you, and then AP comes along, and you're balling out for him now.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to, you know, I just felt like I was able, you know, to be myself, play like I played before, and, you know, just with their expertise, their coaching, the guys around me, it just makes it a whole lot easier to go out there and, you know, just play, you know, be myself.
Before you came on, as you were walking here, I said in the history of the Raiders, they've been known for great safety tandems. You can go back to Atkinson and Tatum. You can go to all the legends who played. Rod Woodson, who I think is one of the top 25 players to ever play in the top 100 list. When he came to the Raiders late in his career, he fit in because he was super elite. I love the fact that they paired you with Epps, and you and him seem to be like brothers out there. What's that chemistry like?
Man, like I said, day one since he's came here, he's helped me a tremendous amount, you know, just with his intelligence, you know, on the field. I mean, you know, just off the field, as like I said before, you know, we find time to hang out, find time to learn one another, and you know, that bond just helps our relationship on the field a whole lot more.
Trayvon Merrick is our guest, safety for the Raiders. So from being a ball hawk in college and to being able to play in the pros, center field, come up and stop the run, what have you seen on film about your game that you want to improve?
I get asked that a lot, but for me, it's coming out and just trying to get 1% better each day, you know, whether that may be in coverage, you know, in the box, communication, you know, just trying to find something in my game that I can improve on every day. So I'm looking to improve in every aspect of the game.
Love that. We talked about it because Robert Spillane, your captain there at linebacker, yesterday opened up the window into this disrespect thing and what's happening. And you're only going to pay attention to so much going on here.
Right.
But if they say season win total 6.5 or NFL Network's not giving you the coverage you deserve and they're down the road with the Chargers, who, by the way, had a much better record than. You had a much better record than Denver.
Right.
Is that something the fans should pay attention to, that you guys hear a little bit of the noise in the background, or do you just – kind of focus it out and just focus on football?
I think we focus on football. You know, we hear it, and we take it, you know, internally. So, you know, we just kind of keep that, you know, with a grain of salt, keep it in the back of our head. But at the same time, we're trying to focus on ourselves, play ball, and just enjoy the moment. And when the time comes, the time will come.
Everybody's talking about your fitness, because what'd you do in the off season? Who do you work out with? How much time's in Henderson?
Yep.
And it looks like your body's changed a bit, too, in another way. What's happened?
I spent a lot of time with my trainer, Taylor Berry, boxing, did a lot of boxing and conditioning. You know, we did a lot of running, you know, just trying to stay fit, conditioned, you know, did some football stuff as well. But I did a lot of boxing this off season, so.
Christian Wilkins, I think this is a game wrecker. I think, you know, when people say, what do you think the Raiders are going to do this year? I don't predict wins and losses, but there could be a game. It's in the fourth quarter. It's 17-all, and he wasn't on this team last year. It could be a strip sack. The ball comes out. You pick it up and take it in.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a win and a loss.
Right.
What is it like with him now, along with Max, and what we're seeing?
Yeah, like I said before, man, having those guys up front, getting pressure on the quarterback, makes our job on the back end easier. Gives us time. You know, we already know that they're going to come, you know, head hunting the quarterback. So, like I said, just gives us time to get in our coverage, get our disguise in, and play confident, play fast.
Last one on a personal note. It was really hot in Vegas. I've lived there since 96. I'm a lot older than you. Coming here is great. But what else are you loving about Vegas when you go out and you get a weekend or get a night off?
Yeah.
What's changed for you from being a young boy who wasn't in the state of Nevada now that you're home? What do you like about it?
Man, it's a lot to do, you know, from food, from entertainment. You know, just a lot to do. It's good weather. You know, I don't like the cold, so I'd rather take the heat rather than the cold. But, you know, just the connections I've made out there, whether from business standpoint or, you know, just my teammates, my coaches, just other people I meet, it's just a good time out there. So
Thanks for doing this.
Yes,
really
sir.
Good to
Thank
talk
you.
To you. Have
you
a healthy
too.
And great season.
Thank you
Thanks
so
for
much.
Coming on.
I
there
appreciate
he is.
It.
Trayvon Merrick, kind enough to join us as we continue on. Live from Raiders training camp here in Costa Mesa. So we got a lot happening here. Nice to talk to him. He looks different. He's in great shape. He's paired up with Epps. I think he's a really good player. M Resort Spa and Casino, our proud partner. That's the official hotel property resort of the Silver and Black. From all their activations, the pool, and what they're doing, head on out to the M for their summer concert series. Final hour of the week coming up next.